A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How close do I go to the microphone? Do I just be like, hi? Or do I...
The closer the better. Sort of like this is probably best.
Like that?
Can you hear that? You got lots of cool things to say.
No. Just ask me my opinion things.
About columns this week?
Yes.
Thanks to the one that you decided to write, Saturday Just Gone. Which we didn't actually talk about on last week's podcast.
Did we not?
Well, we did, but Ben cut it out because he thought it was boring.
Ben had a bit of a problem editing last week's podcast, didn't he? We finally had a proper barn stinker, actual marital row. Mm-hmm. Instead of ha-ha, there's a bit of husband and wife friction here as we discuss the news. I did some table thumping and some real proper shouting mm-hmm. in a situation that all entirely of your making. Have I misjudged the room again? Anyway, so Ben had to edit that all out. No, but what we were talking about, we didn't get on to talking about the Armoji thing. The previous week, we did a podcast about me getting dragged and about getting dragged generally and about the fallout from a column about why there are no male writers. And I'd made some jokes that were not taken as jokes by certain people in the culture war
community. And by that, you mean Twitter?
Yeah, I suppose I do, but I don't want to mention them by name. And the problems that can have when you're dragged and you write a column, you're not expecting problems. We did that, and this week, well, a couple of weeks later, we thought we'd talk about when a column goes just unexpectedly well.
Unexpectedly brilliant. Because I'm a scaredy cat and because I'm fully traumatised by just writing columns and being dragged on Twitter and everything, I was really, really worried about this column, because what was the column going to be about? It's going to be about...
So last week, so there was the announcement that that Alexander Moseley, the son of the evil Formula One boss and grandson of Oswald Mosley, the leader of the British Union of Fascists, his name was being taken off professorships and buildings at Oxford University, which had been endowed with his charitable trust, left to him by his evil family, because the people didn't want the fascism associated with them. And I said no. I stood up for Al Mosley, who I was at school with and was at university with. And I said, I can't call this a decision a bad one, but I have to call it a sad one and say why, that he was blameless. And why should the sins of the father and the grandfather be visited on the name of the tragically dead son?
Mm. And I was very worried about this,
that I shouldn't write about
it.
I'm
now worried about basically anything that you write. I'm now kind of fully really worried about. And then what happened when you...
Well, the point was it could be twisted into a defence of fascism, which is, you know, even I am going to say, you know, it's like I wouldn't blame the cultural warriors for going after someone who tried to rehabilitate Oswald Mosley, or indeed Max Mosley. But what happened was that I wrote this thing about my friend and how it was sad, and he'd paid the price of being a Mosley in a life of unhappiness and drug addiction and death at 39 alone in a flat in Notting Hill. But that I didn't think it was fair and right to punish him even after his death and punish his name because of the sins much longer ago of his grandfather.
And how did the piece go?
And the piece just went crazy. I mean, it's just like from all over the world, hundreds and hundreds of people emailing me, every writer, politician, everyone I can, anyone you can name.
It was literally like it was your birthday.
Exactly. They just were flooding in. This is so wonderful. It made me cry.
It was like it was your birthday and you were 100 and you were also David Attenborough.
First out of the blocks was the editor of the Times, John Witherow, about 10 to 5 before it had gone up. Marvellous piece, passionate, excellent, brilliant. And he's usually right. He does that about once a year, which is about as often as I write a good one. And then gradually they all start to flood in, you know. And it was just sort of amazing. I can't think of anyone who didn't write to me. Mm. I was very touched to read one from Janice Turner, whose last email to me was having a go at me for something terrible I did on Twitter. And I thought wasn't speaking to me. All sorts of people, lots of people saying, I didn't realise, we all thought you were such a terrible bastard, but it turns out you're really lovely and kind. Why don't you do this every week? And I go, because I thought I was paid to make jokes. But no, everyone...
So that's an interesting point, isn't it? Sometimes as a columnist, you can... Are you right there, darling?
Did Boris Johnson write to you?
Oh, just for
Boris
background.
Johnson didn't write to me.
Just for background.
Well done. We're somewhat ignoring here. I love how you pressed on, by the way, darling. We're somewhat ignoring the elephant in the room, are we not? The elephant on the table.
Yes, which is...
Can you make an elephant
noise? Can you introduce
noise?
Yourself, please? That's not an elephant.
That's a pig noise.
Would you like to introduce yourself, mystery guest?
Hi, I'm Kitty Corrin, the terrible bastard's daughter.
Oh, the complaints I will get from my daughter using my language.
Oh, my God.
And how old are you, Kitty Corrin?
10.
And have you? Is this your first audio appearance?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever appeared before.
What are you doing in my kitchen sitting on a Wednesday at 1:45?
Because you asked me to.
Yeah, no. But why aren't you at school?
Because everyone has coronavirus except for me, because I'm special.
Everyone has coronavirus in your class. I think it's getting on for everybody, in fact,
yeah.
Except you, because you've already had it.
Yes.
And we should say that we've lateral flowed Kitty every day.
Every
so
day.
We've not exposed Ben to the evil virus. I can't remember if you've had it, Ben. Ben, who's nearer to Kitty's age than ours,
yes, as
we all know, but we've all had it, so it's why she hasn't got it. So anyway, Kitty's around and dinging about and doing her on school learning. But this morning I said, listen, Ben's arriving to do the podcast. Do you want to come and hang out? And bizarrely, she said yes, which normally she doesn't. Is this the beginning of a big media career,
no.
Kitty? Are you going to occasionally give us your opinions on some of these issues?
Probably.
Now, Kitty is Gen...
There's a word for them.
Z?
No, Sam is Gen Alpha. Kitty is still Gen Z, just about.
Well, the same as Ben.
No,
but Gen's still...
I'm a hardcore millennial.
Are you?
Yeah. Ben,
Kitty,
is
Esther is just millennial.
No, it depends on who you ask.
I think they take away your rights for having a frog in your throat. Yeah, they won't let you in with that.
I
had thought it was 82, but I was reading online the other day that it's actually 80. So I'm not boomer, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm just into Gen X, I think.
You're Gen X, yeah. I'm just about millennial, but I've got a foot in both camps. I'm quite Gen X and I'm a little bit millennial.
And then there's Gen Z. Are you sure Kitty's Gen Z?
She's Gen Z and Sam is Alpha.
Boris Johnson might have been moved by, because I was talking about just because a boy's father or grandfather is unpopular. Oh, have you given this a lot of thought, Kitty?
No, but I do know about it, as you have been talking about it for a while, and also during this podcast.
Well, basically, my friend Al, who I was at school with, his dad was a fascist. He was the leader of the British Union of Fascists. He was a racist. He had his people dressed up in uniforms and marched to the
East
End.
Can I say who came to his wedding?
Yes.
Yeah, Hitler came to his wedding.
Oh, you know that?
Yeah.
Hitler came to his wedding to the evil Diana Mitford. They marched through the East End, beating up Jews, of whom my grandparents might have been some, although I bet they stuck it back to him. Which probably they didn't. They probably were just having a cup of tea. It'll be over soon. Don't look. Nobody go to the window. But anyway, so that all happened. And then Al died of a drug overdose. And he had an unhappy life because his dad was... Well, mostly because he had the name.
And they won't honour his name because...
They won't honour his name because they say they don't want their college buildings in Oxford or their professorships tainted by the name of Moseley. Now, listen, you know I'm quite unpopular with some people.
Yes, yes.
Don't say why or just anything. But the point
don't
is...
Don't give any details.
My mouth is shut.
Okay.
If it would be a bit unfair, basically, wouldn't it? If you, later in life, people aren't interested in you or think you have nothing to say because your father was the evil Giles Corrin. Would that be fair?
No, not really.
I mean, luckily, your grandfather was a great man, and with a bit of luck, I've still got time to change the reputation of my name. And basically, what was amazing was that it was just so moving to find all these people writing to me and saying how wonderful it was. You normally are making these jokes and everything, but this was just moving and heartfelt and so brave of you to stick up for it. I got one person said beautiful, heartwarming piece, and they got 1,000 likes below the line on the Times, which is, it's not like Twitter. There aren't that many subscribers. That's like 1% of all the digital subscribers. I mean, it's not, it's 0.1%, but it's still a lot of them. And it's just sort of extraordinary. And it makes me think maybe I should just start writing pieces like that.
You've got into your head that you have to be funny, 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 jokes every single week. And you don't. And I keep saying to you, you don't have to be. And I see you at your desk with your hands in your hair going, God, I just need jokes.
Don't give it away.
You don't have to do that. You didn't always used to do that. You did used to have a variation of pieces. And you're just, I mean, you're your own worst enemy, is what I'm saying.
Well, I know that. The great thing is jokes are really hard when you've got a hangover. So I could go back to sort of drinking on Wednesdays. And just write.
Just write more.
When you're hungover, you can write really, because you feel like crying anyway.
Yeah.
So you can write really tearful columns when you're not in a good mood. But listen, anyway, so that's what happened. I was just, I am riding. This one person, the wonderful Stig Abel, head of whatever his title is, Emperor of Times Radio, he and I have discussed my theory that as a column writer, you need to do one brilliant one, two okay ones, and a bad one. And that's an okay hit rate for four. And as long as as long as you get an excellent one out, then the next one doesn't have to be too good. And then the next one, and then you can bring it back. But once you've done a bad one, next week's has to be good. And his tweet among the thousands, his text to me was, I think you're all right for a couple of weeks there. I'm finding it difficult to see past the terrible thing engulfing cricket at the moment, which is,
because
cricket,
you are cricket's number one fan.
Cricket's number one fan. Let me just get today's paper. We've just had the select committee evidence of Azim Rafiq.
And who is Azim Rafiq?
Azim Rafiq is a British Yorkshire cricketer of Pakistani heritage. Came to play for Yorkshire 2007, 2008, something like that. Didn't have a great time.
People being racist.
Yeah, cricket is being rocked by racism allegations from Azim Rafiq, who had two spells at Yorkshire, and I'm not going to go over and over, had a bad time with all of them, was treated badly. I spoke to someone high up at the MCC who said that Rafiq just wasn't a good enough cricketer and didn't get picked, and it's sour grapes, and he's taking it out on them with this. And he said that to me, and I went, really? Okay. But then I saw, as everyone did, Rafiq's testimony in front of the House of Commons, and if he says it happened, it's happened, and the effects on his life has been terrible. And really, so I just want to talk about cricket. He says that the thing that makes me saddest, and I'm trying to make my son into a cricket lover against the grain, with Test cricket dying, with all the money being in India and changing the game into a T20 format and not being the game that I remembered when I was a kid, and trying to make him interested and love it when everyone else is into football, he said he would do everything he could to keep his children out of cricket.
Yeah.
And there's this thing of banter, and he's saying they call it banter. And obviously banter is a gopping word used by wankers, and people go, oh, it's just bants. And I go, no, it's not just banter. And I have been a victim of banter, as have you.
Yep.
What I'm saying here is that banter is often the defence of the kind of people who go, legend, total legend, it's just bants. Banter has obviously damaged this man
hugely. Your other friend you were talking to...
Mikael?
Yeah, Mikael, who was saying, yeah, that's not banter.
He told me, he said, that's not just banter, that's racism. He said, he didn't believe it of Michael Vaughan. He said, I'm not saying Rafiq is lying, but Vaughan was... I've spent days with him at the cricket. He was lovely to me and my kids. But of course, racism can be... You can be nice to someone one day and not nice the other day. And then Mikael revealed that our cricket coach... I said, did you encounter it at school when we were in the... I think back, the old first 11, 1985, 6, 7, we played together. And you're thinking, whoa, what was said to Mikael? And he said, well, no, it was all absolutely fine. Apart from our cricket master, a beloved fellow, he said he called me the name of a Pakistani boy from the school who'd left in the 70s for my whole time, my whole 5 years at the school. And I thought, well, that must have been pretty dismal. This was a cricket master. This was a guy, everyone loved him. He doesn't mean anything that bad by it. But it's a thing that is suffered by all sorts of people in all walks of life. And I think there might be a way of writing about it, because I wrote a heartfelt piece last week. I, in my case, would write about the sort of low-level persistent anti-Semitism that I felt. But because you haven't spoken for a while, why didn't you talk about where you encountered sexism at that moment?
Why don't you talk to me about my opinion, which you were going to say?
What's your opinion, Kitty?
Give us your opinion.
My opinion on what?
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Stephen Byrne, who is France's best-known heritage consultant, says he's going to move from the Pigalle. Do you know where that is?
The Place Pigalle or the Pigalle Museum?
The Pigalle area of Paris.
Yeah, it used to be the old red light district.
Really? Oh, right, okay. So he's got
Place
some...
Pigalle. It's where Pigalle is places. There's all things like, I think it's like the Crazy Horse strip clubs and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And Moulin Rouge.
Fine.
And also prostitutes and stuff like that.
Pardon?
What?
Pardon? Don't mention strip clubs and prostitutes in front of your 10-year-old daughter.
You're aware they exist?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So he had a flat in the Pigalle, which I suppose is...
Who are we talking about?
Stephen Byrne, who is...
You sound like quickly get to why I care who he is. Sorry, darling.
Oopsie.
Sorry, darling.
Stephen Byrne, who is France's best-known heritage consultant. Yeah, and he's a close friend of
Macron. Oh, who's their second... Who's our best-known heritage consultant? Anyway, fine. He's a big heritage consultant. What's he done? He's moving from Pigalle because...
He's moving from the Pigalle to Perche, which is in northern France, because he says that Paris is a dustbin. It's a dump. It's horrible.
Oh, c'est une poubelle.
Une poubelle, exactly. Whatever.
Sale.
Whatever happened.
Beaucoup de rubbish. Oh, dégueulasse, ça.
Whatever happened to the city, to my city of lights?
Qu'est-ce qui s'est passé avec la cité de lumière?
He said in the Figaro.
Oh, c'est dommage ça.
Wait.
What in
and
French?
He has said that it's all the fault of Anne Hidalgo, who is the socialist mayor of Paris.
C'est qui ça, Anne Hidalgo?
So I thought.
Je n'ai pas connu. C'est quoi? C'est qui?
Anne Hidalgo.
C'est quoi? Qu'est-ce qu'elle fait?
C'est la mayoresse.
Oh, la mayoresse! Don't worry, Kitty. It's not really.
C'est la mayoresse?
Non.
Okay.
What is she? She's the mayor of Paris, is she?
She's the socialist mayor of Paris.
Yeah, socialist.
Who has introduced ugly cycle
people.
Lanes.
Oh, I read the story. Loads of benches. Loads of really crap benches.
Concrete benches.
Cyclists.
And she's also done a thing where she's encouraged community gardens. So she's encouraged big plastic tubs full of earth that local residents are all supposed to get together and plant things in, but obviously everyone just puts their fag butts out on them and they're just
being
fine.
Everyone just poos in them and stuff. They've got no idea. Because I used to live in Paris and there are no gardens. No one has gardens.
Right.
The Jardin de Luxembourg, they use the words jardin. What do you think that means, Kitty? Jardin.
Yellow?
Le jardin. That's jaune. Le jardin.
Garden.
Yeah, exactly. So the jardin, there's no grass, no flowers, nothing in the Jardin de Luxembourg, just gravel for basically playing boule on and weighing on and having your horrible little dogs do their poos, mm-hmm. which they call saucisse d'apéritif.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast sausages or pre-dinner sausages is what they call them in Paris, because they have these tiny dogs that they carry around and they hold them over the gutter and they go and they their little poos and then oh yeah,
but that's like the third most disgusting thing you ever said.
Only the third.
Yeah, only the third.
Right in front of you.
I'm not making any great claims for London, but when we went to Paris, I was disappointed. You know,
what did
I thought,
you think of Paris, Kitty? You were there.
No, I can't remember.
What did you remember about Paris? Going up the...
Wasn't there that mini Eiffel Tower in the Eiffel Tower?
No, it was the Eiffel bloody Tower.
I know, but there was a mini Eiffel Tower in the Eiffel Tower made of stale macarons, wasn't it?
Yes, there was. There was a croquant bouche made of...
That's the only thing I remember.
So moving out of Paris because it's dirty. Paris has always been dirty. Cities are meant to be dirty. I love London. That sort of thing.
No, other places that are supposed to be nice that haven't been nice for 100 years. For example, Venice, the Trevi Fountain, Nice and Saint-Tropez. I couldn't think of any of the others.
Oh, tourist destinations are all horrid.
Yes,
Paris
exactly.
is shit. Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Why am I... I'm going like note-takey, but in the end I'll throw this bit of paper away and then ask you what was that thing you had.
So, tourist destination... What? Bourton-on-Water, for example. the little Venice.
I've been mean enough about Porton on the Water,
but
which
I'm
is our local village
you.
In the Cotswolds. Kitty, what did you...
ask me, yes.
No, I think you should sit there quietly, minding your P's and Q's.
Famous things that are rubbish.
Places that are rubbish. Paris, because Paris is rubbish.
What does minding your P's and Q's mean?
I actually don't know.
Mum, what does minding your P's and Q's mean?
Means being polite and not swearing like Dad.
When I'm dead, you can do the podcast with Mum. It'll be fine.
Get up in the middle of it and walk off.
Like the Paris story, I lived in Paris... Paris may be dirty, but Rome...
Oh my God, Rome.
Worst place on
nightmare.
Earth, worst holiday.
I think, yes, exactly. And I don't know if it's a tourist or because
they
just...
Florence. Florence is an absolute...
Didn't we go to that place on in France?
Where?
Where everyone was Italian and everyone was mean.
Yes.
Cavallo.
Cavallo.
Saint-Tropez, do you remember we sat in that traffic jam for like half an hour?
Saint-Tropez, they all say, you've got to go after to Saint-Cinq, it's amazing. Yeah. And you can't get there. You can only... It's a 9-hour traffic jam from wherever you go, literally 9 hours. Yeah. And when you say, you trouve, you must go by boat or hélicoptère.
Yeah,
what kind of place can you only go to by boat or hélicoptère? Fucking French people.
Exactly.
Good idea. And then, Munich school exchange, Germany, horrible, no surprises there.
Yeah.
but actually, really nice is, and then we have to have somewhere.
What about the place where we went? Scotland, Jura.
That was nice.
Yeah. Full of midges, though.
Everywhere's bad. Moving out of Paris isn't really going to help. Paris is not the worst place on earth.
Right. Well, he's renovated a former military academy in northern France. So, I mean, I'm...
Haha, nerd.
I'm just sort of...
Punchline.
Exactly.
That is pretty dorky, isn't it?
Yeah. Nerd.
Have you seen a picture of him? He's going to be some guy who's into weird military sexual restraint stuff.
Yeah, he is.
I have renovated the école militaire.
I just feel sorry for him. God, he's going to be. Does he understand how like big and lonely it's going to be in his military academy?
No rubbish anywhere. Just loads of bins. Everything put out of the way. Squash that. I think people are going to come from all over France to just leave shit lying around his house.
Exactly. I'm trying now to think. The Trevi Fountain was probably the most disappointing and weird.
Did we go there?
No, I went there on my own on a disastrous solo trip to Rome where I got lost. And
no, we did go because I went for a wee in McDonald's.
Did you cry to Mum there?
No, I promoted her somewhere to a half-built hotel in Morocco, which I got on a freebie. And the pool didn't have any water in.
And there was a donkey going, across over the wall.
All night, it had a shower that drained into the bathroom.
Outwards
into the bathroom. Yeah. And sitting down at the rubbish hotel restaurant where they bring a menu of 10 things and say 9 of them are unavailable, I said to, darling, would it be okay if I asked you to marry me? Or something, I can't remember how I phrased it. If I asked you to marry me, what would you say? And then a man sat down next to her and said, so what do you think of the food and beverage offering? And it was literally that... The manager of the hotel, who always interrupts you when you go to a restaurant, if you're me, literally... To be fair, I think I proposed to Mum and I think she said yes. And I was just about to burst into tears and stuff.
And
then this bloke says, so what do you think on the couscous?
Then I had to get up and go to the loo because I had a bad tummy.
She had to go and have a tummy. So Mum went to squit out her diarrhoea while I talked as a newly engaged man to this boring fucking hotel manager about his shit hotel. But apart from the no water in the swimming pool, the shower that drains into your bedroom.
The
noisy donkeys and there not being any food. What else do you think about my hotel if you've given you free? And now people, I just say, people go, where did you propose to Esther? I say, at a little place in the Atlas Mountains.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, how romantic. And then I stop the story.
We went
there.
Back and it was actually better. It had very much improved. Yeah, we went back.
You're right, we did.
Yeah,
when else were the times you cried? Wasn't that obviously when I was born.
Oh God, no, Dad's always in tears. Let's not.
I cried when I put you in a bucket.
Wasn't it a bucket? It was called a tummy tub.
It was
a
bucket.
And someone said, you've got to get this. My baby loves it. And I went, okay.
And Kitty knows this is the first story about Kitty when she was born. What do you know, Kitty?
Wow, me crying. Me don't like the bucket. Dad also cried. Dad don't like the bucket either.
Mum bought this thing for washing babies.
A tummy tub.
Okay, for washing. When we brought you back from the hospital, and it was a big plastic bucket.
And it was tummy tub on the front. Oh, wait. The idea is that when the baby's in the tummy tub, it feels like it's back in the womb.
Well,
it's
one
all kind of secure. And well, if it does recreate the room, Kitty did not have a nice time.
Bear in mind
months.
That Kitty had never cried. Kitty was born and didn't cry. Just went hello. She was really cool for days. Like Kitty just slept.
She just put her spectacles on and read a book.
Put her spectacles on. Read Harry Potter. Said this is shit, then read Noughts and Crosses and said this'll do, and I thought I'll bath. I changed her early first nappies and stuff to get in the habit of it. I went to wash, I filled up this bucket with water, dunked her in, and she went fucking tonto. She went purple, started just screaming.
You know, you had cancelled for swearing.
I know. And I thought, is it too hot? And it wasn't. And I handed you to Mum, and I ran into your bedroom and crouched on the floor and put my hands in my... And I just cried and cried and cried because I'd hurt my little baby. And you think that's the funniest thing?
Yeah, you didn't even take her for her injections.
I wouldn't.
No, I took her
for her first one, and they put their needle in her fat little thigh. And she went, rah, and stared at me like, you did that. We could do... I wondered about the Radio Times survey. So it's getting on for... it was last weekend. It's getting on for a bit old, but it's not been properly covered. The Radio Times survey, which says that people lie about having watched TV shows. They want to be part of the conversation, so I'll just say my thing. They want to be part of the conversation, and so they say, yeah, I saw that Game of Thrones. I saw Breaking Bad. And they're drawing a parallel with people who lie about having read books. But having read books is a massive effort. People pretend to have read books in order to appear more... Well, is that you going, Kitty?
Yeah, bye.
Okay, I told you. Yeah. She managed 40 minutes.
That's pretty impressive.
That's actually very, very impressive.
40 minutes of us just sort of swearing. Well done, baby girl.
Okay,
I've got one really funny thing.
All right, we've got
the Daniel Hum thing, which is I might write my column about, and I've got a really funny
idea. You're going to have to expand on what the Daniel Hum thing is.
Okay, but then I've got to do the really funny idea.
You're going to do Daniel Hum and then another idea?
No, I'm going to do... Yes, I want to... For fuck's sake, what time is it?
It's 1:30.
Yeah. We've been... I was scheduling for leave at 2, and now I don't have to go because matey's cancelled. We can do all afternoon.
Oh, good.
We've been going... We can go some more, Ben?
We can do one more.
One more, you see? Thank you, Ben.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to tell you my funny idea. But both... I'm going to get... Fuck you, Ben.
No!
I'm going to get... I've got more than that. I've got three things.
No, don't do three things.
Please let me tell you the ideas quickly.
Quickly.
First of all, I might write about Daniel Hum. Who is he's the chef at Claridge's. I gave it a very poor review. He's the big head chef at Claridge's. He's got 11 Madison in New York. He turned 11 Madison vegan. It's a 3 Michelin star restaurant. He turned it vegan, plant-based, got terrible reviews from Pete Wells, who I think is the New York Times restaurant critic, like saying this is absolutely rubbish. These vegetables, they just feel like they're apologizing for the meat. It's awful. I appreciate the vegan project, but still, they've gone separate ways because he tried to turn to a plant-based menu. And I think I'd have a genuine column about... You know, I appreciate the vegan movement. We've all got to eat a bit less meat. But it's not going to start at Claridge's. It's not going to start at the 200-year-old oak-panelled, leather-seated favourite restaurant of the late Queen Mother. That's not going to be the place. You know, gin and Dubonnet and a bloody...
But the thing is, after a QM, after two QMs, you don't know what you're eating.
That's a cocktail we're just referencing. Which is
a gin and Dubonnet, which is called the Queen Mother. And after two stiff QMs...
You're not going to give a shit whether you're eating a turnip or a steak. To be fair, I ate his famous duck dish in sort of peppercorn salt or something, which I described as being like, I don't know, rolled in the gravel from the bottom of a parrot cage. And I thought, if he has this little respect for meat, let him do it to fucking turnip. Anyway, that's one column I might write. There's another... I've got two other ideas which are just really funny. There's a campaign in the Times today. There's a campaign to teach engineering in primary schools. We've got a shortage of engineers. It's one of the things, and we have not proper skills. It's the thing that my old friend James Dyson used to talk about.
Yeah, skills. Skills
they learn engineering. I just thought quite funny. Engineering in primary schools. I just thought.
Settle down, everybody.
Well, my phone call to a 9-year-old plumber.
Oh.
It's just like, I just think, good, you laugh. You say engineering, bridge building, but like, I mean, at what level? That seems to be funny, you know.
If you think you can, all you need is to kind of like capture the voice of your...
I can't believe
that
our 10-year-old contributor has gone.
Yeah.
Just when I've got to the idea about...
The 10-year-old plumber? I'm not sure she, yeah.
That she would give a shit.
I think she's run out of steam.
And I want to tell you an idea which I have, which is very funny, which you will like, because it's the kind of thing that you like.
Is that okay? Right?
I've just been reading a book called Word Horde. It's published this week.
Word Hall?
Word Horde. W-O-R-D-H-O-R-D. Yeah. W-O-R-D-H-O-R-D, which is the old English word for word hoard. And a word hoard was a thing. It's what they sort of called a dictionary. It's what they called a poem. It's a word hoard. And it's just a book about old... And it starts off with an introduction about old English. And I used to love studying old English. And it's fun. And I forget the author's name, but she's described the importance of old English. And then she's just done a word a day, an old English word. And what it tells us about life then and life now, and it's a lovely thing. And she turns out to have a what's it called? Not a podcast, the thing where you write every day that you used to
a
do
blog.
A blog. And it's a word every day, and it got me really into old English. And then I was thinking about that, maybe getting her on the radio show. And then on the radio this morning, I heard Zadie Smith talking about her new play. She's done a play, and it's based on The Wife of Bath. Okay, but it's called The Wife of Wilsdon, obviously, because Zadie is from Wilsdon, around the corner. And she's made the Wife of Bath famously is about that she's a very high living, I think Zadie said on the radio, you would call her sex positive now. She does a lot of shagging, she's in power, she has a succession of husbands, and she's modernised the wife of Bath and put it into modern English. And I thought to myself about doing a collection of Middle English poems, Chaucerian poems, tales from the Canterbury Tales, other tales for now. Why are you making that face?
No, it's it's had quite the build up this, and I'm just want to make sure that this is the what I understand.
Well, no, okay. So you know how they, it was the Clerk's Tale, the Reeve's Tale, the Wife of Bath's Tale, the Knight's Tale, the Merchant's Table. So first of all, you look at this was Chaucer's way of talking about all the different ranks of society from top to bottom, and telling, and then they tell a story to on the pilgrimage to Canterbury.
Tir Scooter Thief, a story.
The Scooter Thief, exactly. The Scooter Thief's Tale. The Scooter Thief's Tale.
The Keyboard Warrior's Tale.
Hang on. The Keyboard Warrior's Tale.
The reality TV.
The Millennial's Tale. The Millennial's Tale.
The reality TV starrier's tale.
Hard work over 1,000
You're
words.
You're going to have to be not hungover for that one. That's going to be
I'm going
work.
Out for dinner tonight with James Marriott of The Times.
Hi, James. He's
like,
fan of the pod.
He's like 12. He's Generation Alpha. He's Kitty's age. But I imagine he slams it back. We're going out for it's like Haggerston or somewhere.
It's going to be going like going out with a young you. He's got the little round glasses. That
oh, come on. James is a self-identified nerd. I was well cool at that age.
Are you sure?
Despite looking exactly like James Marriott, I considered myself to be super cool.
Yeah.
Just like James is. Super literary. James, he writes all about books and stuff now because he's clever and knows about books. They make him write all these book reviews and stuff about books. He'll be writing sweary things about found people in restaurants like me soon enough.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's only a matter of time.
If I'm hungover, it won't really work. But do you know, not that long ago I did poems.
Yeah, but people like it, generally.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking that's an option.
It is a very funny option. I think of all the things we've talked about this morning, I think that's probably the
one
I
like
the most.
Like to
yes,
see.
You're quite right.
The Whiff of Kentish Town's Tale.
I wrote the
Whiff. A fucky you, she saith, to her columnist husband, who prayeth. That on a day
in the QE for the fishmongery, she said, only two people at a time at a max, and also where.
Whilom there was a podcastie.
Yeah.
It's ever and anon turned the nasty. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.